We've got a wildcard special pod today as Sam has hit the button. Is Haaland in or out? Which other budget forwards can we bank on? And who's the best keeper to own for those elusive clean sheets? Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. Kelly Summers back with you. Being honest, I don't really want to talk about FPL this week because I've had another stinker, but hopefully Jules and Sam are in a better mood when it comes to their FPL teams. Morning, Jules. Morning, Sam. Firstly, you, Jules. You in a good mood about your team?
Hello, guys. Yeah, very good. 53 points. I think it's the first time this season that I beat both of you. So, hey, I'm happy. I'll brag through the whole episode.
I mean, that doesn't make any change from normal, even when we've beaten you. And what about you, Sam? How are you feeling? Quite smug? Big Spurs win? Big Solanke haul?
I was very happy about that one on Sunday. I wasn't so happy on Saturday. Obviously, another Haaland disappointment, I think. And as you know, Kels, I was very, very close to the back end of last week to completely changing up my team and hitting the wildcard button and having Salah instead of Haaland. And in the end, decided not to do it. And it was the right thing, I think, just about, because Solanke would have been sacrificed as part of that wildcard. And of course, he went on to be the top scoring player of the week. So 50 points. A green arrow, which is nice. I've not seen one of them for a little while, so it feels quite nice. And yeah, into a big week for me now.
You know who you've got to thank, by the way, for Solanke being the highest scorer of the game week?
Yeah, I do. It's you, isn't it?
I'm laughing through the tears.
No, it's good. And you have Solanke as well, Kelly, yeah? You kept
him,
yeah?
She sold the wrong Dominic.
I sold him because I sat with them. Yeah, well, obviously I got quite a lot of abuse for being in the Dominic fan club last week. And then I was with Sam on the fantasy show on Friday. By the way, you can check that out on the Premier League's YouTube and app if you haven't seen it. And Sam had this amazing, some really good stats about Cunha. Did I get this right, Sam? He was top for expected assists in the whole Premier League.
Yeah, and then went and got an assist. I was right.
So I was quite pleased come Saturday night. I was like, great. I mean, I wasn't that enthralled by Wolves' performance, to be honest, as a doubled-up Wolves owner now. But whatever, I was like, an assist. And Solanke scored one, and I was like, okay, I can deal with that. Solanke wasn't meant to go on and do what Solanke did. And then I get a text from Sam saying, did you sell Solanke? And I just sent crying emojis back. Because, Sam, that was a sly move, because I know you check Jules' teams after the deadline.
Yeah,
so you already knew I sold Solanke.
That's so mean.
No, just rubbing it in.
Honestly, yeah. I didn't. I promise you, I had such a busy weekend last weekend because we were on Sky as well. So I didn't check. Okay. And I honestly thought that you'd have sold Calvert-Lewin.
I couldn't get to him. I was 0.2 off.
Oh, that's really annoying.
Yeah, because if you had gone -4 with the 16 from Solanke, you still have been good.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that after. And also Dominic Calvert-Lewin still hasn't returned. Also, I've owned Solanke twice this season and I haven't got one return from him.
To be fair, until the 70th minute or so, until the first goal, he did nothing. So watching that game, you would feel like, okay, this is fine. And then suddenly I've not merged. He got the two goals.
Also, I know I wasn't alone and I'm an idiot for doing it ahead of Ipswich at home. That's what I'm annoyed about. I should have waited another week. But I know why I did it. I also did it because I was at BBC on Saturday. I was presenting Football Focus and I always check my team just before 11. And I was so I go into rehearsals at 11. I was so my head was in that. I looked at my phone, it said 10:58 and I just went on the app, panicked and did the transfer. If I'd have forgotten that deadline. Anyway, it's a wonderful game. I'm a silly
but
manager.
But Cunha's still a good pick moving forward. So
don't hate it, but I feel like that move, we can talk about Cole Palmer. In fact, let's park Cole Palmer.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's
correct
cold.
Answer.
It's cold here in Lille.
This Solanke transfer completely sums up everything about my season. A move that makes total sense, but totally goes against me.
Yeah.
It's just bad luck, isn't it? But we have to ride out these bad luck moments. No, I know you don't, but Sam's
do.
Got some,
I genuinely did. Because I was watching that.
You rubbed it in all weekend.
Jules, honestly, when that first Solanke goal went in, I was in the south, so behind it, and I almost cried. And the guys around me were like, are you actually okay? And I was like, I don't think I am. And they were like, have you got him in your FPL team? Is that the problem here?
They all know, do they?
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, actually genuine. And then when the second one went in, they all went absolutely bonkers. And I was just like, Evie, my little one, was like, I think you might get a green arrow now, mummy. And I was like, I think I might, babe. But yeah, it was... and then I thought of you and I was like, that's all right, because Kel's got him as well. So the pair of us will have a nice week. And then you told him.
Yeah. Anyway, in solidarity with all of the fellow Solanke sellers, I feel your pain, but the move did make sense as long as you brought it in for someone good. If you didn't bring in someone good, it didn't make sense. Anyway, Sam, you ended your last answer by saying to me, on to a big week for me. Do you want to tell everyone why it's a big week?
I played my wild card on Saturday afternoon. So a week earlier than anticipated, and I know you, I immediately texted you two as well, pretty much, and told you because I knew you'd give me grief for not telling you because it was earlier than anticipated. But yeah, I just felt like I was very close. When I saw you on Friday, I said to you, I think at the end of the show, I was 50-50 on whether I was doing it or not. And in the end, I just got myself in the right stress with it because I didn't want to be doing content on the Saturday morning and worrying about a wildcard deadline and all of that stuff. So on Saturday afternoon, the results of the games made a massive difference in my thinking. And then there was a lot of price rises going to happen over the weekend. And I thought, I'm going to lose an awful lot of team value just in Saturday alone. And players that were rising were players that I wanted. So I thought I'd just go early and then hope that I can manage game week 11, because there's only really one game in game week 11 that I don't like. And I've got a little plan for how to manage Arsenal and Chelsea, which involves not necessarily investing heavily now and having one transfer for next week to bring one in. So yeah, wildcard's active.
Okay, so we'll come on to that very shortly. It's always quite exciting when we have a wild card active on this pod, I think. Jules, anything to say to Sam about the fact that she's told us the wrong week again for a wild card, or should we just expect it?
To be expected completely. We know how devilish it could be sometimes, so here we go.
Just before we do move on to kind of chat through the week, Jules, it is a European week. You are not in England. Where are you?
I'm in Lille. I was at Lille Juventus last night.
I mean, what use is that to us in FPL?
It's no good, is it? No, why weren't you at one of the Liverpool City games? Come on.
Yeah, but I still had screens. Although I was live during my game, I still had screens everywhere to watch everything. So I can tell you that obviously Luis Diaz got a hat-trick. And maybe more importantly than the hat-trick, he played central in a 4-3 with Salah and Cody Gakpo. Gakpo scored as well. Salah had two assists. It was a very good second half from Liverpool. Not so good in the first half, or not as great in the first half, let's put it that way. So maybe Luis Diaz comes back into the conversation when we talk about the wild card for Sam or whoever is playing the wild card or thinking about a transfer, because he looked amazing in that position. And Curtis Jones, who gave him a wonderful assist on his first goal, looked also great in midfield. No Dominic Szoboszlai, another Dominic for you, Kels. And then for Manchester City, heavy defeat, as we all know. Foden scored, which is good, but Haaland missed, again, a lot of chances and a penalty too. So not a good week at all for Erling Haaland.
No, I couldn't believe that when I saw he'd missed a penalty as well. Doesn't really bode very well, does it, for him at the moment as an owner. I'm sure we'll talk about him when we come on to talk about Sam's wild card, because that is a big decision. But just a quick check-in with the FPL pod mini league. It changed at the top, actually. The leader last week was James White. Get this, he took a minus 16, 1-6, heading into the game week. So he brought in Palmer, Saka, Vissa, Cunha and Mikalenko. But it only brought in 15 points because only Cunha picked up a return towards your face.
Wow.
So you wouldn't think that, would you, with those players?
But it was one of those game weeks where you kind of would, actually, to be honest. I'm wondering if you sold Solanke as well. He's now sixth place. That means he's 9 points behind the new leader, who is Roshane Simpson. Child of Prophecy is Roshane's team, and they got 70 points. All of their defenders returned, which is quite rare at the moment, it feels like, with Aina, Virgil and Guardiol, as well as Sells in goal. They also had returns from Rodgers, and like Jules did, they had Salah as captain. Plus, I feel like this is lucky. Well, it's not lucky because I had him on the bench, but even had Harwood Bellis. Who got 6 points? Who would have seen that coming on the bench? Wayne Jensen and Charlie Shepherd are tied second. They returned 62 and 48 points respectively. So they're on course for a season that will get 708. That is 5 points behind the leader. Wayne did play his triple captain on Mo Salah in game week 10 though. So yeah, some really strong performances so far in FPL Pod Mini League. We're backing all of you. We would love the winner of FPL to be in our league, that's for sure. Okay, wildcard time. We'll do a brief check-in on how many chips are active. We don't need sound effects on this show, and we've got Jules making shit noises, making
movie
noises.
Do you want me to sing as well? Boom, 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 boom. Matt doesn't. Okay.
Except he wasn't.
And I'm guessing he's not going to be in Sam's wildcard, but who knows? So yeah, currently there are 61,988 wildcard chips active. I mean, that's probably changed during the duration of me saying that number. Almost 37,000 free hits, over 30,000 bench boosts, and over 20,000 triple captains. So not too many chips active. Sam, I think you've kind of explained why. Did you get to a threshold of players as well that you didn't want anymore?
Yeah. And it was so weird though, Kels, because usually it's five players I don't like, I'll play the chip. This week, I was looking at my team on Saturday afternoon and I had 10 players I didn't want to keep. And I was like, how have I got to a place with my Jules, there were five left. I've got five players left in my team that I had before. Five.
Let me check.
I think I would be the same. And I only wildcarded a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And I just looked at them and I was like, I mean, there's a couple in there that, you know, could have stayed. Like they were, they're players in there that I could have gone, well, I could keep them. But in reality, like when you look at your team and you're deciding whether to wildcard, you have to kind of be a bit brutal with it and think, well, if I was starting from scratch, if this was like, I had to just change everybody at this point, would I keep you? Like normally there's a good 10 to 12, however many players you go, yeah, I definitely would keep you. I had five that I was like, I would definitely hold. Actually, wow. on Saturday afternoon, I had four because one of them I changed my mind on Sunday afternoon.
I wonder who that was. Sam, who are the five? So I think we can probably both guess that one, you are keeping a Dominic in your team.
Yes, I am keeping a Dominic in my team.
And it's not going to be Calvert-Lewin.
It's definitely not going to be Calvert-Lewin. Maybe only for 1 week. He might just get another week and then I might do something different with him after that. But I do like him for the home game against Ipswich. So I've kept him. So weirdly, Vardiol, who's only just come in for me, I've still got him there at the moment. Rodgers, I think, might just be a permanent hold for the entire season. So I've kept him. Mbomo, I've kept him. Oh, and Robinson, currently, I've kept him alongside Fabianski as my second goalkeeper. So five of them. That's it. But Robinson is... I'm in two minds about him. He was going and then he got that assist on Monday evening and then I was like, I'm not sure what to do about you now. So he's in there for now, but he could easily not be.
Who were the first players that you brought in?
Salah. Salah first. Because at the end of the day, that I played it because I wanted to go big in midfield. So Salah, Palmer, Saka came in quite quickly. Ryan Aitnori, he was very quick. He was a player that, I mean, I watched that game, the Wolves game on Saturday night. Max and I sat and watched it together and I was just like, does Aitnori know he's supposed to be a defender? Like he was so attacking and I just thought this is a player that longer term I do want to have, particularly for that fixture run that has coming up. And then I was keen to change that front line. I really like Wisser. I've got a bit of a thing about him at the moment. I like Cunha. So there's a lot of players that I was kind of like, well, these are the players that I want to target. As I mentioned at the beginning, the one thing that put me off playing it this week was that Chelsea and Arsenal game, because ideally you don't want to have a team that's got a load of players all playing against each other, particularly because I find that game quite difficult to call at the minute. Like normally I'd have gone, oh, that's an Arsenal win, so I'll just keep my Arsenal players and I won't go so heavy on Chelsea. But at the moment, I'm not sure exactly how I feel that game will go. So my plan is to be a little bit rogue. I'm building a team with both Saka and Palmer. And depending upon injury news on Palmer, I will likely go into game week 11 without one of them and go for a bit of a punty pick in that slot, keep the money in the bank so that for game week 12, I can bring whichever one I don't have for 11 back in.
Okay.
So you get rid of Haaland.
Oh, yeah.
I have indeed got rid of Haaland.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry. Well done, Jules. Glad one of us is awake this morning. That's quite big news, isn't it?
This is big.
Would you do that? You've been very against that, actually, on the pod, haven't you? Is it not changing week on week? And or are you still in the Haaland in camp?
No. I mean, I realise that you've got other great options. I mean, the other great options really are, okay, Salah, although you can go with Salah and Haaland and still be fine, but that means no Palmer or no Saka. You can maybe squeeze a Saka or Palmer with Salah and Haaland still. I think Sam did that in one of the drafts before. And okay, the rest of the team is maybe not great, but it's still possible and doable. But to not go with Haaland at all, I just think that, yeah, it doesn't look... He started so well and now he looks a bit like his Man City team. Maybe a bit jaded, maybe just something is not right. Maybe it's the Rodri absence, maybe the De Bruyne absence, although he's coming back. Maybe it's just Foden not being completely at his best. I don't know, there's something maybe. But I think Haaland would still score 30 goals this season in the league and get a lot of points. So I think it's a very brave move, but I'm all for it if it works out for Sam.
I thought Sam was going to say something back then because you were agreeing with all of that.
I do not disagree with anything Jules just said. Like, I think he will get... He'll probably win the Golden Boot this season. But part of my justification for doing this is that over the weekend that we've just had and in previous weekends, I have had Haaland and Foden. And so watching the Man City games, I've been like, okay, this feels comfortable. And I've had Vardiol as well. So I feel comfortable. If there's a Man City goal, I would expect to get some points out of it. But then the Arsenal games, the Liverpool games, the Chelsea games, they've all felt incredibly uncomfortable. Like every time they say, right, we're going to Anfield or we're going to the Emirates, I'm like, oh no. Like, because it's going to cause pain because I can't have all of these guys in my team, particularly Salah. I know you've done it, Jules, and it is doable, but you're still having to sacrifice other big assets. So one of the decisions for doing this is that there's only now one team that I'm going to fear going to. Like, it's just going to be that City game. And yes, Haaland will go off. There will be weeks where he gets a hat trick and I haven't got him, but I will have Palmer and Saka and Salah. So I would expect the three of them to be able to counteract some of that suffering. Because for most people, like for Jules, who have got Salah and Haaland, the pain comes if it's a Saka or a Palmer that returns. So I just think it's about balancing how you're able to invest in all of the teams. And with the way that Man City are playing right now and the 15 million that you have to pay for Haaland, it's a lot of the budget, and Salah and Palmer and Saka feels like the main three that I really want to have right now, given their performances.
Okay, let's go through the wildcard then by position. We'll start with your favourite position on the pitch. We'll go to the opposite end to the forwards. I think goalkeepers is quite topical anyway, because there just isn't many clean sheets. Once again, Newcastle got one against Arsenal. I don't think too many people saw that one coming. Don't know really. I know Southampton were playing Everton, but I still didn't really back them to get a clean sheet. And Forest did against West Ham. Now, Forest have been obviously brilliant, so maybe that one was the most predictable of them all. I imagine, Sam, when you look at your goalkeeper, you're looking at the fixture ticker for defence going forward. We know that Wolves are really high there, but we're really low on clean sheets this season, so it must make picking a keeper really tough.
I especially am not the person to be picking goalkeepers. I'm finding it hard because, like you say, Wolves top of the ticker. So ideally you'd go for the Wolves keeper, but then is it Johnson? Is it Jose Sarr? Who is it that's going to be between the sticks? That's another minefield that we have to contend with.
Also, Wolves aren't keeping clean sheets.
They're not. No. Well, nobody. The only real team that consistently is keeping clean sheets this season is Nottingham Forest. But when you look at the fixtures that they have coming up, it's Newcastle next, where Isak has decided that, you know, he's finding his form again after injury. Then Arsenal, then it's a nice game against Ipswich, then Man City, Man United, Villa, Brentford, Spurs. Those teams look like they'll score goals against Forest. Like they, and when you look at the games where Forest have kept clean sheets this season, with the exception of the Liverpool game, which is a bit of an anomaly, they have come against the slightly, you know, weaker teams in terms of the attack. You would expect the teams that they've got coming up to score goals. So I'm struggling with investing in sales right now. I think I'm going to go Raya. Arsenal haven't kept a clean sheet since the North London derby, but after the Chelsea game in game week 11, the fixtures are really nice. And that Arsenal defence, it doesn't become a bad defence overnight. Like, Gabriel and Saliba have both been missing for bits and bobs. So I think once they're all back in the team, and most importantly, with Ødegaard now back in training, I would expect Arsenal to be stronger coming back in through game week 11 and then moving forward through the rest of the season. So I think I'm going to go for Raya, keep Fabianski in the second slot. The only thing that puts me off Raya is that he's a million more than most of the other goalkeepers that I would like to go for. And you have to spend that extra money. But if I spend the extra money on Raya, it does mean I don't have to find the money for a Gabriel or a Saliba in the defence. And they're even more expensive again. So in terms of budget, he feels like the best way into Arsenal.
Does that make sense to you, Jules? Would you be going for Raya on a wild card?
Yeah, if you can afford him, I still think that's probably the best choice right now. Although it's hard to say that because they haven't been good defensively for the last six games, Arsenal, to be fair. So I think they will get stronger. They will get good again defensively. But it's tricky. I mean, I like Sales and I like Forest, but Sam is right. The games coming up are tough. I think you can look at Flecken again because they look quite good defensively against Fulham until the last few seconds of the game.
Don't go
crazy.
There.
No, are you just trolling Kelly though. Here, Jules?
No.
That was
true.
Probably almost as frustrating for me as the Solanke thing because we felt so unbelievably close to a clean sheet. Not only that, he conceded two.
It was going to be a 12-point haul, that was. Mm.
I know. I was going to think I was on course to beat Jules or at least beat one of you.
Yeah, definitely you would have a few more points. Yeah. And to be fair, if you look at Brentford, they've got Bournemouth, Everton, Leicester coming up. So those three games before Villa. So those three games can defensively can be sound too. So I don't think Flecken is bad. I don't think Henderson is bad. But Raya looks, and if you can afford him, the better goalkeeper of all that list.
Okay, so we're going with Raya then. Defence, Sam. You've already said Aitnori's in. You said you were keeping Gvardiol.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention any other names? I can't remember. Sorry, my memory's really bad. I wrote some of them down, but I didn't write them all.
I'm potentially Keith Robinson. Potentially. Robinson. He's up for debate. He could easily be Lewis Hall from Newcastle because I actually quite like the Newcastle fixtures coming up. I was really impressed with him against Arsenal as well. And I think, you know, they are starting to get players back from injury now. I like the fixtures that they have coming and he's 0.3 cheaper. So again, if it's about clearing the team, because in reality, Robinson is likely to spend a lot of time on my bench anyway. He'd be my fourth defender. So I'm kind of at that point where I'm like, well, I would really like Robinson. And if I've got the extra 0.3, I'll keep him. But if I am struggling and I need that 0.3, then he could easily be Lewis Hall. So at the moment, my starting front three would be Gvardiol and Aitnori. And I've also taken a little bit of a punt, but yeah, sorry, on Dallo. Because the Manchester United fixtures are looking quite nice now. The new manager is known for loving his wing backs. And I think that will only bode well for Dallo in that position. I would expect him to play well there. The next three especially.
How do you know it's Dallo though?
Well, you don't for sure.
Yeah.
But I would hope that it would be. It certainly is going to be in game week 11 under Van Nistelrooy. So it's just whether when the new manager comes in, he keeps him. But in reality, Jules, if he doesn't, he's the most expensive of the Manchester United defenders. So it's very easy if it's not him to swap to one of the others, or if it's wrong and actually Manchester United defensively aren't good. But I don't see that happening because actually of all the things that Manchester United have been this season, defensive solidity has been a thing. Like they've been all right defensively. They've kept, you know, clean sheets and they've looked okay defensively. So I think that the next three in particular look promising for clean sheets. He's also created 9 chances so far this season. That's more than any of the other United defenders. And of those, 3 have been big chances. So I think when you look at that, plus the fact that he's top for expected assists across the United defenders, like he is the most attacking of their defensive unit. So I'm going to go with him. And if when the new manager actually arrives, it's the wrong thing, then I'll just move to one of the others instead.
Does that make sense to you, Jules? Now she's justified it.
I think there's a conversation to have about United anyway when Ruben Amorim arrives, because I think not only there could be a really nice sort of new manager bounce if you want, but I think the way he plays and if he hits the ground running straight away and the team just if he can implement his ideas straight away and they're very much in it, everybody, I think you could see a big transformation and then suddenly some of the assets become really interesting. So like a Haaland, like a Garnacho, like defensively, whether it's Dalot or Mazraoui, whether Garnacho can play maybe left wing back and then bring something new to the game too. I think there could be a lot of interesting things from a United point of view. Okay, maybe not now. And Sam is right. We wait until Amorim arrives. There's international break after that. We can give it a few game weeks, 2 or 3 maybe after Amorim arrives. But there's also, I think, a good conversation to have about suddenly some of their players who we've ignored for most of the season coming back into the conversation of like, okay, do you want Bruno? Could you get Haaland? Could you get him? Could you get that? Because I think it could be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking more about Manchester United in the coming weeks. Let's go into, is that all your defence, Sam? I think that is all your defence, isn't it?
There's Van den Berg as well, because you need a 4 million. Yeah. So he's there, need a 4 million. He's been regularly starting for Brentford. If Greaves was fit, I probably would have been tempted to have gone there instead, but he is 0.1 more. And given it's the final sub slot, Van den Berg feels like the best option.
Okay, in midfield then. So you've gone busy with a busy, big, could say busy as well.
Both, yeah.
You've gone big, both, yeah. With Salah, Saka, Palmer, Cool.
And Rodgers, yeah, you said.
Oh, and Rodgers. So there's just one slot.
So there's one slot left for Kelly, basically, right? Because you've got no money left, or?
Mbomo is their last one.
Nice.
You've wanted him for ages, haven't you?
Well, I've had him for the last couple of weeks. He stayed. But my plan here is, because I ideally don't want to go into the Chelsea-Arsenal game, as I mentioned, with Palmer and Saka and Raya in goal. Like, it feels like it's quite heavy in that game and I'm not quite sure how to read it. So my plan has always been to budget for Saka, have the money there, and then just before the deadline, I'm going to do Saka out for Bruno Fernandes and have Bruno for the game against Leicester this weekend. And then further down the line, I'll use that money to bring Saka in. If Palmer is actually injured, because he's flagged, we'll find out a little bit more, I would hope, before the deadline. Although, of course, he's not in Chelsea's European squad, so you might get less news on him. Then I'll do Palmer out for Bruno and play Bruno this week.
What's wrong with having both Palmer and Saka for the game? Why, if they finish 2-2 and they both score two?
There's nothing wrong.
If he was
wrong.
A defender and Palmer, or like a Chelsea defender and Saka, or an Arsenal defender and Palmer, I would understand, because Palmer scoring will take away points from the Arsenal defender and send the other one. But if there's two attackers...
There's nothing wrong with it. I just think that Bruno Fernandes feels like he could do really well this week. I think, like, Bruno, Brennan Johnson, there's a couple of midfielders this week. And if I hadn't wildcarded this week, had I waited till next week, that's what I'd have been doing. I'd have been taking some punts on those type of players. And so just because I'm wildcarding doesn't mean I have to then lock my team in so that over the international break, I don't do anything to it. Like, I'm happy to have a punt this week and then move them to one of the more premium ones for the week after. So yeah, that's why, really. It's just a bit of fun, I think. And he's got potential for a bigger haul.
Yeah, sorry. It sounded like because they were playing each other, you didn't think it was a good idea to have them both in your team. That's how I understood That's why I asked the question.
If you've got them both in your team already, you would absolutely hold them both for this week. But given that I have the flexibility to have whoever I want, it makes a lot of sense, I think, to kind of to play that a little bit.
Okay, then your front three is, I'm guessing, from what you said before, Cunha, Vissa and Solanke.
Well.
Oh, so it's not.
So at the moment, it's not, but that's only because of budget. And this is where I need to kind of make some big decisions. So at the moment,
you can't afford them three.
No. So at the moment, it's...
Solanke's quite expensive. Solanke's a little bit more
expensive,
than the rest.
Yeah. Solanke's 7.5. So Solanke, Wissa, and then I've got Strand Larsen at the moment in that third slot.
He's good.
He's good.
Now, ideally, in a everything's rosy in Sam's world day...
Doesn't exist in FPL, sorry.
I would have Cunha, absolutely. And I would still like to find the extra million to do that. However, that would mean losing either Gvardiol, who I'm not sure I want to do that, because that would mean no Man City at all. And that feels really horrible, given that, you know, everyone else is going to have Haaland. Or it would mean not having an Arsenal defender, which... I kind of keep questioning whether I can make peace with that, but I'm not sure I can with the fixtures, the way that they look to come after game week 11. Or it would mean downgrading Robinson to another 4.0, because this team that I've built does have money in the bank. There's 0.5 in the bank, might even be 0.6. So I could go Robinson down. That's the least big sacrifice thing. But the problem is that's two 4.0s then on the bench, and that feels quite a lot. To be, you know, I'd be happy for Robinson to come off the bench. Would I be happy for multiple 4.0s to come off the bench? I'm not sure. And then the underlying stats actually look all right for Strand Larsen. No, obviously he was the one that gets the goal at the weekend. He's got the slightly higher expected goal numbers over Cunha. Cunha's got the better expected assists tally, as we mentioned, because he's top for expected assists across the forwards. Cunha has had over double the final third touches of Strand Larsen, but I don't know. They've both got the same number of attacking returns this season. So I might go there. The thing is, that third forward slot is going to be a Brighton one in a couple of weeks' time anyway. I will probably go for Brighton. Now, the plan was to go Solanke down to a Welbeck or a João Pedro, or whoever it is from Brighton eventually. Or maybe even go to Hoyland if Manchester United start playing really well. But that would mean Strand Larsen stays. The other thing here is that this is a like proper front eight. Like, there's no one, because Morgan Rodgers is my cheap midfielder and Strand Larsen would be my weakest forward. So every week I've got to bench at least one of them. So is it worth having Cunha? Because then Cunha, like the conversation is then, am I benching Cunha, Wisser or Rogers? And nobody really wants to bench any of them, do they?
Yeah, it's tough. So, Jules, even what do you make of that? Would I my gut, definitely don't take my advice, Sam. My gut is I would go with the Strand Larson, because maybe it's because last week, if I'd have gone Dominic Calvert-Lewin to Strand Larson, I'd have kept Solanke and I'd have got a goal and then Solanke's returns as well. But in a team, because it is a team like Wolves where they're not performing that well yet and Strand Larson's still getting points, it's not like Cunha's playing in a team where he's going to get loads of assists and goals. Wolves are never going to go crazy. So if it's meaning sacrifice elsewhere on your team, that would be my gut. What do you think, George?
Yeah, I saw Strand Larson was, I think, my differential 2 weeks ago. Mm. And the differential is not, as we said, just for 1 week or for Christmas. So I'm glad he returned, because I told you he would anyway. Mostly he's cheaper, as Sam said, than Cunha. The thing about Cunha, and that was pretty obvious watching the game at the weekend, is the ball comes to him all the time. So much. Mm. Every time somebody's
he's
on the halfway
there,
line, yeah, they look for Cunha and then Cunha make things happen, whether he scores or assist. And he could have had more than just the one assist at the weekend too. So if you can, I think Cunha, maybe as much as I like Strand Larson, because I like strikers like him, you know, I find he has a lot of qualities and he would get better and better because he's still new in the league and it's still a new team for him. But Cunha is just the main guy in that team, I think. The guy you give the ball to all the time, like a Palmer and those kind of players that other teams have. So I'd be tempted for Cunha more than Strand Larson if you can find the money.
Mm, probably doesn't help really, does it, Sam, to be honest?
No, it's difficult because there's the part of my brain is going, just have a cheaper one because you've got to bench him anyway some week. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense rather than trying to rip up the rest of my
team.
The
only thing is, the one thing I would say is with whoever you go for from Wolves, with their fixture run, you're probably not going to bench the Wolves player.
Well, so, and this is another thing, so that you've got to kind of look at who's got fixtures and where. So like the Bournemouth game, for example, on the fixture ticker, that is rated quite easy for Wolves, but I don't think it is, given what we've seen from Bournemouth
lately.
But
is that Molyneux, isn't it? Is it Molyneux?
It is, okay. Yeah. Yes. But even then, I still wouldn't be 100% sure that Wolves will beat Bournemouth.
But then I guess you've got to look at who Villa have got that week.
So then you look at, well, okay, who's Morgan Rogers got? Well, Morgan Rogers got Arsenal, so probably don't want to play him. So I probably would still play him anyway. But then in other weeks where, like, Morgan Rogers has got...
Oh, he's got Chelsea. Not Arsenal, Chelsea, yeah. But yeah, still works.
Still,
that week.
Yeah, like, you know, it's the same principle. So I think that's the thing, is it's looking at how they rotate with each other. The other thing is to not go with Wissa and to go with somebody else. But actually, he sits in that quite nice price point. He's six, so
it's quite cheap.
Yeah, so like even like Cunha's, like, you've got to get another half and more than half a million to get to him from there. And do I really want to have two Wolves attackers and eight Nouri, given how Wolves are playing right now? Like, I'm not convinced.
Sam,
I do.
There's also a simpler theory here. Could you not downgrade Dominic Solanke?
Not before Ipswich. I don't think you can. I think, you know, when you look at the next 3 weeks for Spurs, obviously it's Ipswich. Then it's the game up at, in Manchester against City. And then after that, it's Fulham at home. So Spurs at home are really good. Like, we're really good at home.
But you weren't saying that at half time.
No, we still played well in the first half. Dominic Solanke wasn't going to stay. Yeah. But actually, the way that we played in that second half has gone, I'll give him Ipswich. Now, I am happy to sell him after the Ipswich game. So yeah, I could do that. And that was on the radar. You know, Welbeck is 5.9. He's a nice option. João Pedro, because of the injury, is now back at 5.4. So actually, going for him when he comes back, if he comes straight back into that Brighton team, again, could be a nice option. The front three feel like that's where I'm going to play this year. They feel like the ones that are going to change. Like, I think when you get a midfield that's got, Rodgers is going to be a perma hold, I think, unless he gets injured, and then Salah, Palmer and Saka, they're going to be permanent holds. I can't see them going unless they're injured. So the front three is going to be where I target changes, and it might be that some weeks I want Jackson and I can go there, some weeks I want to come down and have, I don't know, whoever it is, Chris Wood, if he continues to be absolutely peak. So, you know, I think the front three are going to be the changeable slots, and it's just working out how much money I want to invest in that third forward, which is why at the minute it's Strand Larson.
Anything else that you would suggest to that team, Jules? Do you think anything other than Erling Haaland, obviously?
No, I think we mentioned Isak, who seems to come back to some sort of form. It was a great goal, great header against Arsenal. There's obviously Chris Wood and Danny Welbeck who keep returning, whether it's goals, assists, you know, whatever you want, which, as we said last week, might stop, might not stop. I mean, Chris Wood just amazes me, really. Incredible. But then, if you bring him in and he, I guess, in Sam's position, you can always bring one of them. And like she says, you can swap a, you know, Strand Larsen and Cunha and those players of that kind of budget with Wood, with Welbeck. That should not be too difficult. As the main striker, I think Solanke for the Ipswich game makes sense. You know, I wonder where Watkins is going to go. He was a bit disappointing, I thought, at the weekend, considering the position that he had and where he had the ball and stuff like that. But yeah, Nico is a good shot for some games too. I like the fluidity that Sam can have, really. If you don't have Haaland, that's also what you can bring to your team, is because you don't have that 15 million tied up in him, you can play a bit with that front line, for example, and have a super strong midfield like she will have. And then with your front three, you can look at the fixtures over one game week, two, three game weeks. Maybe you don't even have to look at, you know, midterm or long term. Just short term is enough. And then you can choose, and you will always have a free transfer maybe to be able to play with anyway. So, you know, why not using that fluidity for the three forward positions?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really key word. Having no Haaland might be scary, but it does give you fluidity.
Absolutely.
So, there's a lot more you can do with that team. I'm very envious, Sam, if only I'd held mine.
You haven't played your wild card yet, Kels, have you?
Both of you have now got Salah. So this is just going to get more and more painful for me.
But I don't have Haaland. So every week, that's going to be a stress for me. With you two having him. So it's compromises and sacrifices, isn't it? So it's just making sure that if you don't have Haaland, you build the biggest and the best squad you can to compensate for that.
That's the only thing. You can't get wrong who you replace him with. Like your three forwards, I know we talk about fluidity, but they have to return at some point because, you know, inevitably he would return a lot. And I know you still have Salah and Palmer and Saka. So you're less dependent on your front three. No, I'm just saying, you know, like he didn't score at the weekend. He had 0.88 expected goals. This is just mental for him not to score with that many chances and opportunities. So it's what we say all the time, is who you place your players with that is the most important, not who you don't have.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for the rest of this season, all the money in my team has been in the defence and in the forward line. And I've had very, very little of it in midfield. Like I had one premium and it was Foden. And then otherwise it was in Mbeumo and then down from there. So it's just changing the way that I've invested in the team. So I just need my midfielders. As long as Saka and Salah and Palmer continue to perform as they have been, it will compensate for not having Haaland, as long as one of that front three also chips in. And it's just who they are. And I think, you know, having Solanke for the next week, having like Wissa, I really like particularly for the next three. But then after that, the fixtures do change a little bit for Brentford. So he could be Hoyland at that point, because of course then manager bounce will have kicked in properly. We'll have a bit more understanding of how Manchester United are playing. So I think it's just making sure that front three works as best as it can without the budget restraints of Haaland.
Okay, makes a lot of sense. Okay, then it is time to move on to differential of the week. Now, last week's differentials, both of you returned. Kulusevski got 5 points, got an assist for one of Dom Solanke's goals. Sam went for Bruno Fernandes, 10 points, plus got a penalty and got all three bonus points. Interestingly, this week on the script, with Sam doing so well, Jules, she's put the current standings for me, just to remind you.
I didn't put the total though, notice. I'm not that mean.
Well, I've counted them, don't worry. I thought you'd set me a little challenge.
No, I left that off. My point was that we're actually doing quite well.
She picked superstars, though. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Well, out of the week, so Sam on this grid has done it red if they... Hold on.
Yeah, like in the Ryder Cup, basically.
It's red if they blank, yeah.
Do you know what? I've worked it out wrong. All we're going to say is Sam is winning. Sam is doing a lot better. I think that Sam has won
Not that much better. Not that much better.
Is that right, Sam?
Loads better, Jules.
Sam, is it 7 of the 10 weeks you've got greens?
2, 4, 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So 7 of the 10 weeks. Jules has got greens on 4 of the 10 weeks.
Okay.
So I did work
almost,
it out.
I'm
right? I just second guessed myself.
I'll take that.
But there's spreadsheet is shared with you both, by the way. So you can look at it at any point.
Game weeks 4 and 5,
both of you were disastrous, and both of your picks, all four picks between the two of you got a point. So game week 4 and 5 was a low point.
I was
but
really
since then, Sam's differentials have returned every single week. So she's on a bit of a hot streak. So let's see who we're picking for game week 11. Go on then, Sam, you go first.
I'm going to go with Bowen this week. So he's got a really good record against Everton, 2 goals and an assist in the last 3 Premier League meetings between these two teams. He had 2 attempts on goal in game week 10, also supplied 5 crosses and created a chance. Of the midfielders this season, only 5 have been more creative than Bowen. He's made 23 chances for his teammates, and he's also the 7th best across the midfielders for crosses as well. So I think, you know, he could be a decent option. He's also on corners, taken 31 of those and had 4 attempts on set pieces. Comes up against an Everton team that have conceded 17 goals this season. On the road, they've been especially poor. They conceded 4 against Spurs, 3 against Villa. They even conceded 1 against Southampton. So, you know, on the road, not being great. Their only clean sheet on the road came against Ipswich in game week 8. So I do think that West Ham need this. They really need this win. Mm. And Bowen will be the talisman in that team if they get it. So, Bowen.
Jules?
So, in pure Sam styles, I've picked Diego Maradona and Zinedine Zidane, who are owned by less than 10%. But they, I mean, they're small players. They're just coming through, really.
Spoiler alert, neither of them will turn in FPL this week.
Instead, because I'm not Sam, I went for Cody Gakpo, because Cody Gakpo is only owned by 2% of the managers, which I thought that was super low. That's basically the only reason I picked him. Also, because he scored in 3 games in a row now, in all competitions, 4 goals in his last 3. He was very good in midweek, we said that, against Bayer Leverkusen in that second half. He was very good last weekend too against Brighton in that second half as well, because Liverpool are still not fully consistent over 90 minutes, but that doesn't matter. They have such great form, and that game against Villa, a Villa side that is not doing as well, had a poor week before their Champions League outing against Bruges on Wednesday, so later today after we're recording the show. So I think this could be another good weekend for Liverpool and for Cody Gakpo.
Yeah, I like the Gakpo pick. It feels like another one of the Liverpool players that we've overlooked, because we're all so obsessed with Mo Salah. And a lot of people now will probably look to Luis Diaz this weekend as well. And yeah, maybe overlook Cody Gakpo again. Okay then, let's go on to transfers and captains. So Sam, we don't need to run through your transfers because you've made a lot of them. Jules, what about your transfers? It's Wednesday, by the way, we're recording. So, and yeah. Jules is very much not in FPL mode in terms of being in France. So.
I know, you're right. You're so right. You know me. So, 2-3 transfers I have, to be fair. Rodgers is flagged, but it should not be too bad, I think. And I like Rodgers. I like the midfield with Salah, Brennan Johnson, because he sips switch at home, and Johnson could easily be my captain as well. Rodgers and Mbomo, who's got Bournemouth at home. It's in the defence. I can't find the defence right, to be fair. I don't think I've ever returned defensively outside of Robinson, who got really lucky to get that assist at the week on Monday night. Let's be honest, it was a goal from a shoulder from Wilson. So I don't know. I think I might keep the same team and have 3 free transfers the following weekend, where I'll have I think you can start a block of game weeks from next week.
Yeah.
Like when Sam wanted to play a wild card, and I think it's probably smarter to just wait and have the 3 free transfers to just get fresh blood and new legs into my team.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I just wish I had the patience to do that. So Joel's probably not doing anything. Sam, your transfer's pretty much set. What about your captaincy?
Probably Salah. Do quite fancy a punt on Solanke at home against Ipswich. So, but I'll probably be boring and put it on Salah, given it's my first time owning him this season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like if you're going to own Mo Salah, you've got to captain him, haven't you? Jules, will you captain him as well?
Yeah, it's him or Brennan Johnson. Because I like the idea of Spurs against Ipswich, which I think they could absolutely batter them. And although a lot of Spurs players can score, as we've seen the whole season, I think Johnson is in great form too. So he would be one of the 2.
Okay. Yeah, some good options there, that's for sure. Gosh, I'm going to really struggle not owning Mo Salah, aren't I? It's going to be interesting.
-16, like the boy in our, in our league.
Do you know what? Sometimes I feel like I should, and it would, but not in me.
You could get rid of Calvert-Lewin then as well, couldn't you?
I'm not going to do anything this week. I'm just going to be patient. Bench Calvert-Lewin. He's just going to stay on my bench at the moment. That's the thing. I can play Morgan Rodgers over him and deal with him at some point. Yeah, anyway, enough about my team. No one wants to hear about that. So, let's end the podcast there, shall we? It's a 1:30 p.m. deadline this week. A reminder, this is the last weekend of action for the final international break until March. So if you do want to hold your transfers, you've got a couple of weeks to make them. But there is no 12:30 even kickoff. So it is a slightly later deadline. Give Sam a little bit longer
for her transfers for her wild card. There's just 3 o'clock games, four of them: Brentford versus Bournemouth, Palace versus Fulham, West Ham versus Everton, Wolves versus Southampton, because then there's a later game on Saturday night. Off the Bench, we'll be back on Monday for you. It'll be Sam and Harry talking you through all the Game Week 11 talking points, and you can also see how Sam's wild card did then as well. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. Looking forward to that one. We'll be back next week with you on Thursday as usual, guys. Thank you for listening. Best of luck. Bye-bye.